church. Lord, your name is victory. We overcome if we are born in you. If you've been born of God, can you just give a shout to God? Yes. Yes, God, if we've been born of you, we will overcome. We know the end of the movie. It ends in victory because of your work on the cross. We thank you, Lord. We ask now that you would speak through me, God. I want to decrease. I want you to increase. I want your word to go out in power, and I want it to bring hope, and I want it to bring restoration, and I want it to bring victory. Where there might be a place where we're operating in a position of defeat, God, let us claim the victory that you've won for us right now. Let us hope in the work that you've done. If you believe in that, can you give somebody a high five and say amen? Go ahead and take a seat, church. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate that. So, man, I really want to encourage you to check this clip out on YouTube. It's the clip of my favorite movie of all time, The Lion King. I'm a huge Disney fan. Love The Lion King. And there's this clip where Simba is living his Hakuna Matata life, right? If you don't know what it means no worries for the rest of your days. So he's hanging out with Timon and Pumbaa, and they're eating things and saying, like, slimy, but satisfying. And Simba's not acting like a lion. You good? Gosh, I was in the groove. Simba has forgotten that he's a lion. And then the wise sage Rafiki shows up on the scene. He goes, I know who you are. And Simba's like, how do you know me? He's like, I know you, but do you know you? And so he kind of like walks him over to this little lake of water, and he goes, look at yourself. And Simba looks in and he goes, I don't see anything. He goes, look closer. And then Simba kind of, was that a good interpretation? Yeah, impersonation? Yeah. So he kind of looks in, and all of a sudden, the water like kind of moves and rustles, and he sees his father. And then when he looks up into the sky, his father shows up, and he says, Simba, you have forgotten me, and so you have forgotten who you are. Remember who you are. And then he vanishes, and he's like, Father, no! Remember who you are. This is what I want to talk about today. Humans operate out of their identities. And the problem is, like Simba, we often forget who we are. See, Simba is a person, or a lion, that should be claiming his rightful inheritance as king of Pride Rock. But see, he needs a reminder. He needs a reminder from his father, which is James Earl Jones, saying, remember, Simba. As I was preparing for the sermon, I was thinking of the reality that I am a very forgetful person. I forget things all the time. I was actually thinking, I'm not going to pick on myself, I'll pick on somebody else. I remember the first time I met Kevin Prescott. He is our tech resident. Love him. Great guy. The first time I met him was in a debrief in Atlanta. We were on our way to Paris to go do a missions trip. And I remember when we were there, we were assembling teams to go out into Atlanta to do a scavenger hunt so they could get to know each other. And I remember we assembled Kevin's team. It was him and I think like four girls. It was just Kevin and the girls. And they go out, and they're gone for about 3 hours, and I get a phone call from a concerned girl who basically is just frantic. Like, I don't know what to do. We've lost Kevin's keys. I'm like, well, where did he put them? He goes, I don't know. He thought they were in his pocket. We've been looking. We don't know where it is. And she's like, I'll call you back. 5 minutes later, she calls me back. And she says, hey, we found the keys. I'm like, where were they? He goes, they were in the ignition of the car with the car turned on with the doors unlocked. I was like, wait, how do you even do that? The doors were unlocked in Atlanta with the car on. She was like, yeah, I don't understand it either. So when they were assembling the teams, they were like, hey, so you've got the guy that you're going to disciple in Paris. You got the guy who left his keys in his car. You're gonna be with him for the remainder of the mission trip. I was like, oh, great. Awesome. I love you, Kevin.
Look at him now.
And he's doing big things. Hey, can we give Kevin a hand? Kevin is awesome. Kevin's a great guy. We're forgetful. We forget birthdays. We forget anniversaries. We forget names. That's like the worst thing for me. If you tell me your name, I've got to create some kind of like, what's that word for a shortcut? A mnemonic. I've got to create those. I'm like, Ben, blue shirt. Ben, blue shirt. Ben. But I'm a forgetful person. And, you know, I feel like the consequences of forgetting are different for what you're forgetting, right? So if you forget your keys, which I've done it at Dale and Janet's multiple times, it's like, okay, we'll find the keys. Like, we'll look for them. And at some point, you find them. If you lose your wallet, you have to replace your credit cards. But as I'm bringing this up, I'm thinking about the impact of what can happen to a human being when they forget their identity. Identity is so important because when the God-given identity that we have, once we forget it, when difficulties arrive, when decisions need to be made, when we fall short, when we settle, we will sin. We will live from a position of defeat instead of a position of victory if we forget our identities. If you're living in a pattern right now of cyclical sins, there's probably a good chance that you have A, forgotten your identity, or B, you have placed your identity in something other than God. Yeah. See, knowing your identity is directly connected to overcoming, because listen to this, and I want you to try to catch this phrase that I'm going to use. You'll never live in a way that is inconsistent with how you see yourself. And your identity forms how you will see yourself. So when you're wondering in suspense whether or not the situation you're in is going to work out, listen, the inconsistency ends up permeating through your prayers, ends up permeating through your relationships with people, to your reactions. So when girls feel cheap, they'll end up settling for the wrong guys. And when teams feel like losers, go Gators, they will play beneath their talent level. And listen, when guys feel insecure, they'll end up settling for a website. And when Christians live or wonder if they're designed for defeat, they end up caving in. I think about David and Bathsheba and how he's playing Peeping Tom. And the reality is he is like a war general. He's a king, and he should be focusing on defending Israel and leading Israel, but he's too busy creeping after this girl who's married. He forgot who he was. And to be completely honest with you, when I think about the life of Greg Gressig, I'm not pointing any fingers. Guys, I've just forgotten who I was so many times, and it's always led me down the same road. Disappointment, frustration, cyclical patterns of the same issues. What did Einstein say? He said, if you just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, it's insane. It's insanity. And my hope for myself and for you guys is that we wouldn't continue forgetting who we are or placing our identities in things outside of God and falling into the same traps, falling into the same broken mindsets, that we would truly trust what he says about us. See, the question I keep asking myself, and maybe you've asked yourself this, is it really possible for me to overcome? I see other people overcoming, but is it really possible for me to overcome? I don't think you understand my story. I've got a lot going against me. I've got a predisposition. I've got people in my family who have addictions. I come from a line of divorce. Some of you guys got things that I have no clue about and nobody else knows about, but you know inside, you're like, man, this is setting me up for defeat. Will I ever overcome? John chapter 5, verse 4 makes it so simple for us. John says, everyone who has been born. Everyone say, everyone. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is not some of the people who've been born of God. This is not the majority or most people that are born of God. This is everyone. Everyone say everyone. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Jesus said this in John 16, 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation. Notice he didn't say maybe you'll have tribulation. It's a promise from God. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. But take heart because I have overcome. Because I have overcome. See, I got to talk to Christians for a second. If you're here and you're new and you're just checking out this Jesus thing, I'm so glad you're with us. But I got to talk to faith family real quick. We have to stop complicating things. We have to stop acting like there's a suspense with an unknown outcome. We know how this ends. You overcome. As surely as you believe in Jesus, believe that you are an overcomer because you will never live in a way that is inconsistent with what you believe. It's like watching a movie for the 10th time and expecting a different outcome. Like you're sitting in suspense watching the same movie for the 10th time and you're thinking, does the good guy win? No, he wins. It's like watching Titanic and expecting the tank or the ship not to go down. right? We know Rose is going to be on the door that's really big and could invite Jack on too. And you're like, you don't need to freeze. Just get on there. You know, like they show up 30 minutes afterwards. And she says, I'll never let go. But she lets go. It's just so frustrating. Like I watch the same scenes in the movies and they still happen. Listen, this is the story of your life. You overcome. You know the end of the movie and God doesn't write crappy scripts. Okay? You overcome. Now listen, there are details, there are little defeats along the way, and there are things that we do not understand, but what is crystal clear is the very big picture, and the big picture is this. Your identity is not just that you're a saint, which you are. It's not just that you're beloved, you are. It's not that you're forgiven, it's not just that you are loved and you have mercy. It's not, all those things are true, but the big picture today is this. Your identity is that you are an overcomer. Why? Because of verse 4. Everyone who is born of God overcomes. The sober you believes this, but the stronger you starts to live this. See, this is the end of the movie. We overcome, but Christians don't live in light of this spiritual reality. And I'm wondering to myself, why don't we live in this reality? Well, we're like Simba. We forget, right? We're living in the world of Hakuna Matata. It means no worries, but it totally matters. But then also, I feel like we place our identity in things that are not of God, right? So I think we believe the lie. See, that our self-worth or that our value is based on performance or what other people think about us. Neil T. Anderson, who's a famous author who wrote the book Victory Over the Darkness, one of my favorite books, he said this, millions of people are climbing the ladder of success to reach success and to gain respect, only to find that when they reach the top of the ladder, they've leaned it up against the wrong wall. See, what causes you to overcome is the truth. It's the truth of what God says about you, which is this. You are deeply loved. You are completely forgiven. You are totally accepted. You are fully pleasing to Him. And God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. And God is the same tomorrow. And you can rest knowing that when people don't think the right things about you, and when you don't perform as best as you could, the consistency of God's character is your confidence and your hope that you can overcome. So I'm gonna do it real quick. I'm gonna give you two takeaways that can give us the ability to cling to this spirituality that we as believers so often forget. And the first one would be, remember who you are and remember what He has done. You know, I think about this illustration where, like, if you were to pull a gun on me and you were to point it at me and you say, Greg, hop, guess what I'm gonna do? Greg, take a step to the right. What do you think I'm gonna do? Greg, hop on one foot. Okay, I'll hop on one foot. What's the point? Listen, if somebody's holding a gun on me, they got the authority. They got the power. But if I, for some reason, find out that that gun has no bullets inside, you better believe I'm going to throw down and defend myself. And this is what I believe about John chapter 4. See, John is writing from this eternal position that he knows that Satan has no more power over us. And when we believe this, we overcome. And it's a reminder to me that all Satan has is an unloaded gun. Satan's threats and accusations against you are powerless. An enemy has no power over you. He's got an unloaded gun on you, guys. But that's for those who are born of God. See, everybody's born once, but not everybody is born twice, right? Yeah. See, John 3:3, Jesus speaks to, I think it's Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, who has a bunch of intelligence, but really no understanding of what it means to be a follower. He says, how is one born again? Jesus says, listen, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And according to Scripture, in the first birth, in this life, we are all born into sin. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It talks about how when Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned, they became people who inherited a sinful nature, and then when we chose to eat from the garden, or chose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what happened is Adam and Eve inherited sin, but then from Cain and Abel and down the line of generations, to me, to you, to everybody here, we wake up in this world with a sinful nature. So I want to read this scripture with you, Ephesians, because I want to let the verses do the talking. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So like I said, we've inherited sin from Adam and Eve, and we wake up in this life with an inherited nature. We are sinful, aka children of wrath, and then God shows up on the scene, and it literally, if you move the next verse down, we'll go to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. We've got the biggest but in all of Scripture. Love this but. It's a good but. God being rich in mercy, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. Remember the identity that we put our hope or our comfort or what we are in our works and our producing? Listen, God says it is not a result of works so that no one may boast. So everybody's born once, but not everybody's born twice. And God is pointing to us in Scripture that there's no way for us to be born again on our own. So God offers a way for us to leave our old nature by inviting us to put our faith and trust in his work. Right, so if you read the backside of verse 4, it says that everyone who is born of God overcomes the world, and this is how we overcome, by our faith, right? So if you're born of God, you can't be born of God unless you have faith to believe that what God did is true. And this is the very faith and trust that causes us to be born again. When someone believes and trusts in Jesus, it changes everything. Now, some of you are in here and you have an agnostic background, you have an atheistic background, you might come from a different religion. Listen, all I can tell you, I can't debunk the arguments because I'm not really an intelligent person, but the only thing I can tell you is that one day somebody shared the good news of Jesus with me. They showed up on the scene and they explained the goodness of God through the redemptive story of Jesus Christ. And when I chose to put my faith and trust in him, something happened. No, I'm serious, guys. Like, my whole world got flipped upside down. The way I started seeing things, the way I started feeling towards things, everything shifted. My life got changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 happened to me. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is past, the new has come, and this happened to me. But what I started to realize as I started to step into this new identity was that I have residue. Like, if you ever cook curry in your house, it's stuck to the walls, and I felt like I had curry in my life. Like, I had so many things that were clinging to me, and what I had to realize is that when I became a new creation, right, when I received this new identity, by the way, Christianity is the only religion where you actually receive an identity before you do anything. Like, God just gives you this new identity, and you're like, what do we do? Like, I'm new? What does that mean? And then God's like, look, you're different, and there were things in your life that were clinging to you. And listen, the past might actually try to dictate who you are, but the reality is that's just not true. It's not true. Your past and the things that you once did and the way you used to identify with yourself is not the way you are now. And I know that's so hard to believe because you were so deep in it. It reminds me of the story of the elephant and the steak. Has anybody heard this story before? Not a lot of people. Okay, good. So the elephant and the steak is a great story. It's about a little boy who's going to the circus with his father, and he sees this large elephant behind the circus tent, and he sees a rope tied around his leg, and he sees this, like, 5-inch steak in the ground tied to the rope. And he's like, Dad, what's up with this elephant? Like, he's so big. Can't he just, like, yank it out? He goes, I don't know. Let's go ask somebody. So they go behind the circus tent, and they talk to the trainer, and the trainer looks at him. He's like, hey, what can I do for you? And he's like, well, you know, it's interesting. We're wondering why this humongous elephant can't pull the steak out of the ground. And he's like, oh, well, it's simple. See, when they're babies, what we do is we tie a rope around their leg, but we actually put it a really heavy pole in the ground, right? And we put it super deep so that when the elephant tries to pull, he can't move. But what will happen is the baby elephant will pull and pull and pull until it hurts itself. And then it basically gains this memory, right, that it can't escape. So that when the elephant grows up, and he's really, you know, mature and older and he's stronger. What happens is we put him in the same situation, but with a lot littler stake, because we don't want to dig holes super deep. And he just doesn't think he can move. This is what happens. We're like elephants tied to a baby stake, and it's like we can yank it out. It's easy for us, but we have this memory of things that we used to do, or we have this memory that there's something attached to us. And the truth is that we're different. We're mature. We have new identities, and Satan is trying to trick us into thinking that we're attached to something that's way worse than it is because it's been conquered already. Amen? Yeah. Come on. Come on. I'm preaching.
Oh my gosh.
The scriptures say we should have the word written on our heart. And I think if we're going to become people who can identify with what God said about us, if we're actually going to be overcomers, if we're actually going to be people who really believe that everyone who's born of God overcomes, then I think we have to know what the word says about us. So I think a practical application here is something that I feel like Pastor John challenged our leadership to do, but I think it should be everybody in the church. We should really know what God says about us in his word. Yeah. So when you came in, you should have received a index card, and if you didn't receive one on the way out, you can grab one. But I've got a couple of verses I want to read to you that I would love for you to maybe jot down in your phone that you can use as identity verses. But I want this to just start you off. I would love for you to go into the scriptures, dig into God's word, and see what he says about you. I love this verse in 1 Peter. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Is it up there? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him so that we should walk in them. Psalm 18:35, you have given me a shield of your salvation, and at your right hand you supported me. Your gentleness made me great. These are a few verses that you can write down the references of, or you can dig in God's word. Just read Ephesians. There's loads of great verses on identity in there. But this would be a great opportunity for you to practically apply what God says about your identity and stop placing it in things, in performance, in what people think about you, or just naturally forgetting. This is a great way to remind us. So that's my first point. Remember who you are and remember what Jesus has done. Second point, and this is honestly where I'm going to cap it off, is that you have to remember that this is actually not the end. You have to remember that this is not the end. I'm going to grab a rope real quick. This is not the end. Some of you may have seen this illustration before, but I think it's a really good way to be in touch with the truth of where we're at in this life, and I think it's going to help us realize how we can overcome. All right, I want you to imagine that this rope is a timeline, right? Timeline. It goes on forever. This rope goes for infinity. And it doesn't. It just goes to the back right there. But just imagine, okay? So this is a timeline. But now I want you to imagine that this rope is a timeline of your life, okay? And this red part right here, this represents your life. You get a little bit of time here on earth, and then you got the rest of eternity. And you'll live it somewhere else. What drives me crazy is that we're obsessed with this little red part. We're obsessed with it. Oh, man, I didn't get the job. Oh, man, she broke up with me. Oh, man, why is my life a mess? Why did I fall into that same pattern of sin? We focus on this. We magnify this. When we have all of an eternity that God says is what we're supposed to be looking forward to, that's supposed to impact our present. Stop focusing on what's going on right now, because God says that your citizenship is in heaven, that your hope is in heaven. One day you're going to stand before him, you're going to see him face to face, and the scripture in Romans, verse 18, says this: the present sufferings of this world cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory The eternal weight of glory that is going to be revealed to us when we stand face to face with him. Listen, you overcome when you're born of him, but you overcome when you remember that this is not the end. Yeah. This is not the end, church. Some of you are in really hard situations right now. I don't want to dismiss that fact that it hurts, but you have to take in perspective how little time you have here compared to what has been offered. Some of you have never been born of God. Listen, yeah, you can clap. Clap for Jesus. He won this for us. This is what we've inherited. Some of you have never been born of God. Altar workers, you can come forward. Some of you have never been born of God. Here's what the scriptures say. This is what the Bible says. It says that how you live this life now determines how you will live the rest of your eternity. Listen, if you want a life without God, if you want to ignore him, you want to respectfully stiff arm him, listen, that's fine. But don't be surprised at the end of your life when God respectfully declines to meet with you in the end. If you haven't been born of God, listen, in this life, you have an opportunity to receive him for real. Something happens when a mouth confesses that Jesus is Lord. Something happens when a heart believes that he was raised from the dead. If you can put your faith, because this is the faith that overcomes the world, if you can put your faith in him in this little bit of time that we get, the eternity, the eternal life that God offers is for the taking. That's the first call, repentance, to be born again. The second call is for you who are born again to claim the rightful identity that God has given you. Believe in what he said about you. Believe the truth that you are an overcomer. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but it's not the end. There are little defeats along the way. But the matter of the fact is that God has won our victory through his work on the cross. His blood was spilt, and if we receive that blood, we can have forgiveness and we can overcome. That's the second call. The third call, for anybody who needs encouragement. Some of you just need to hear the word of God spoken over your life. Some of you are in need of like a prophecy, of like a word to know how to make the next step. Some of it's just going to be counseling, like wisdom on how to remove yourself from a certain situation that's toxic, that's causing you to forget your identity. Listen, I want to invite you to come up and get prayer. I don't want you to focus on anything else right now. I really want you to focus on the fact that when you come up, you're coming to receive something from God. I've really asked all these people up here to be ready. So like I asked them to pray for specific words, to ask God to give them wisdom on how to have these conversations. Listen, God already knew you were gonna meet with specific people up here. And I want you to come up and have the confidence and the belief that when you pray, when you meet and put your trust with God, he responds, he does something. So even now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you. And I want to end in this song of worship. And when we end, I'll dismiss us. But as we're dismissing, if you can, try not to come up to the front. Let people come up here and do business with God. But Lord, I ask that you would give courage and boldness for every person who is in this room, God, that you would help them to cling to the truth and their identity, that what you did on the cross is true, that you won our salvation, and that you offer this life for us to make a decision. And so, God, I'm asking right now that you would give courage to the unbeliever, to someone who may not be born from above. God, I'm also praying for the person who needs to get out of this cyclical pattern of forgetfulness or putting their identity in something other than you. God, would you give them the courage to come up and receive counsel, receive guidance and prayer? And last, God, I pray for the person who needs encouragement. Lord, give them the boldness to come up. Give them the strength to come up and receive prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's good. That's good. We can give it up one time for Jesus. And thank you, Greg. Hey, why don't you guys stand to your feet? We're going to close out in this final song, as Greg mentioned. If you need prayer for any of those areas that you're at, or maybe just something connected with you during the course of this morning, you say, John, I can't even articulate what's happening in my heart. I just know I need to respond to what I've heard. As soon as we begin singing, the altars are open. We would love to pray, agree with you, encourage you from God's word. So the altars are open. Jamie, why don't you lead us in a final course? And church is soon.